Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 84 of the Weekly Long Box. I'm Todd, joined as always by Leonard. How you doing today, Leonard?
I'm doing pretty good. How about yourself?
I'm doing great. You know, good weekend. Had just, you know, watched some TV, laid around, booked my room for Baltimore if I'm going. Don't know if I am yet, though.
Did you buy your tickets yet?
No, the tickets, like, are usually don't sell out. But the way I look at it is I want to book the room now because I can keep it all the way up to 24 hours before the show and cancel it without a fee. So if, without a room, I don't know if I want to go. If I can't get a ticket later, then I just cancel the room.
And you're only going the one day, right?
No, I'm thinking about going the two. Because my motto is, I'm thinking any friend of mine that might want to go, if they drive, I'll pay for the room out of pocket. That's the, I'm using that as a bait thing.
That's a good deal.
I'm telling you.
Does DJ know this?
DJ's going only Sunday because I think he has a wedding or a party or something.
Ah.
So he'll be all day Saturday somewhere, and then they're going to stop at the convention on Sunday on the way home. So.
Yeah, there's no way I can swing doing a two-dayer on that one. I would just lose so much money.
Gotcha. Maybe I'll have to tweak some of the other people that I know to go.
Were you able to maybe convince Josh to go?
With the baby, having the new baby, he has to see. So we'll see. Because he's the one that I wanna wrangle in. I think I could bait him, and he's listening, so he's gonna know my whole plan now. But so hopefully maybe. If not, then I don't go, or I go maybe one day. Who knows?
I'm just looking to see if any big names have been announced yet.
They have a couple of names, but they, usually as you get closer, usually they announce more after San Diego because they, you know, the Thunder, that, you know, that's just so big.
Right. No use making, well, yeah, there's a lot of good people there so far, you know, your usuals, but it's good usuals.
Yeah, they book them early, but then, like, they do add a lot afterwards. Maybe I'll push some stuff around so you can go. You know what I mean?
I don't know. First weekend in September, I'll see.
We'll talk.
Yes,
but
we will.
Anything interesting with you?
No, just a typical weekend. Had wrestling on Saturday. Oh, I had car troubles on Saturday.
I saw that. I heard you were lost in the sticks somewhere.
Yeah, it was the exit on the rest area where 380 and 80 meet for all you locals.
Mm-hmm.
That first rest area, if you're coming on 380 to get onto 80 East, it's like 2 miles right off there. I stopped there to use the facilities on my way out to the show on Saturday. I went out to the car, and it just wasn't starting. It was just clicking, right?
Mm-hmm.
I was getting power the whole thing. I was going up separately because I was doing another trade of comics. I'm selling another collection, so I didn't want to have my car loaded up with a bunch of the other guys and their gear and their shirts and their everything else that they sell on the show.
Mm-hmm.
So I call my buddy. He's not by there yet, and I'm like, well, swing by just in case I can't get my car started. I flag down this young punk kid, and I say young punk kid. Anyone younger than me is a young punk kid, and he was moving from Michigan to New York City, and he had his whole life in his car, and luckily he had jumper cables. He tried to give me a jump. I don't think he did it correctly because it just didn't do anything. Right. Just as that happened, my buddy showed up. Hopped in the car. I'm like, well, we'll deal with this tomorrow. So the next day, me and my brother drove out there. I was ready to go, like, replace a battery, you know, anything that needed to be done, and the car started just fine. Perhaps I imagined it.
You do have a vivid imagination, so.
I guess.
It could happen. I was going to drive out and watch you struggle for a while.
I gave my exact location, so if anybody wanted to kidnap me, that would have been the perfect time.
Ah, you are of value, so. If anybody can get their hands on Leonard, I highly advise it.
Yes, indeed. So that was my weekend. It was eventful, but, you know.
Yeah. We got a lot to get through today. We have movie news, like who's getting paid and violence in movies.
Yes.
We also have creative changes and also company changes.
Yeah, that's an interesting one.
Yes, it is. We also have what we read last week, and we both had really light weeks, I think.
Yes. This is probably one of the lightest weeks I've had in quite some time. Let me see if I have my satchel here to get the list.
Because we have, like, I think I'm going to talk about Age of Ultron. I know you don't read that. We're going to talk about Hulk and some other stuff.
Right, but it's more than going to make up for it for this upcoming week, so.
Yeah, because we're going to talk about what we're looking forward to this weekend. I have 20 books and a trade paperback, so that's how much stuff I have this week.
I have 17, and that's that. Yeah, this past week was the lightest week for me in a year and a half.
I have no idea because I don't have a notebook, but yeah. It was a light week. I could just tell.
I have a lot of going over the last. I can go back and I can get the other tablet as well from the because I only have the last 3 years worth in front of me. I do have the other tablet that has the prior five.
Your whole comic life is in those tablets.
It certainly is. Oh but. No, my well, okay. Now this doesn't count. If you remember from this past December, and probably the previous December as well, where there was the no ship week the day after Christmas.
Yeah, that doesn't count.
And they were like, not only was it the day after Christmas, it was also like a fifth week month. So there was like two books that week.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So those don't count. So yeah, this is the lowest ship week in quite some time.
Right, right. Sketch Party is also on hiatus for a little bit.
Oh, I know. You said that you had to scan more stuff, and maybe that'll inspire me to finally scan some more stuff, too.
And I was trying to come up with a name. It's hard. My brain doesn't work well.
Yeah, we'll figure out something. I got some bad ideas rolling around. And I think the worse the idea is, the better it'll be in the long run, because then we're stuck with it, and it'll be a constant reminder of our horrible decision-making.
Yes. Legendary. Horrible decision making. And we also have our Twitter question, which is, what is your favorite wacky team up?
Mm-hmm.
This one took me a while, but I ended up finding the book and rereading it, and it was fun to do. So,
did it meet your wacky qualifications?
It's wacky, but in a different way. So, yes, it stands out to me.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I'll give you my reason for mine, and this was the one, and I think you'll figure out the reason when I tell you what it is.
Gotcha. Not a problem. So, just want to get right into it then?
Let's get right into the news. Where would you like to begin?
How about movie news? Who's getting paid? I like to know who's getting some cashola.
Yeah, you know, we've been kind of straying away from a lot of the movie talk of late, but this Man of Steel movie has certainly shook out quite a bit of discussion. Now, I do want to say I was incorrect. I think the drop-off from the first weekend to the second weekend of Man of Steel, I had said 70%. And it was only, I think, 67 it ended up being?
Yeah.
Was the drop-off? Yeah.
You're wrong.
I was close.
You were. I'll give you 67. You were perfect as far as... plus or minus 3 is always good.
So, but it's not... You have to be exact in my world.
Oh, that's right. I forgot. You missed your notebook.
So, where this came from was, this who's getting paid for Man of Steel regarding creators. I guess a fan had asked Mark Waid on Twitter... if he was going to get any money from Man of Steel, since there was some, I guess, ideas that were from Birthright in Man of Steel. And Mark Waid said, nope, he's not. And, you know, people then brought up about how stuff in the trailer was taken almost whole cloth, word for word, from Grant Morrison stuff from All-Star. And then a lot of discussion came up that when Paul Levitz was in charge... that he would cut people checks if things were used, even tangentially.
Mm-hmm.
There's the one that's mentioned that an interview that Chuck Dixon did an interview a while back, that a scene that he put in Detective Zero, which came out in 1994, about how Batman picked out the Batmobile, that was used in Batman Begins, so Chuck Dixon got a check for it.
Which is really cool.
Right. And what it all come out was Mark Waid to put a thing up. If you go to thrillbent.com, maybe I'll put it in the show notes here as well so you can see for yourself. And again, he does a very good job, I think, of not painting DC in a bad light, but more so painting Paul Levitz in a good light of saying that there was never part of their contract. It's never been expected that they get this sort of money. It was just something nice that Paul Levitz did.
While he was there, he had the stroke, and he could do it.
Right.
So, like you said, it wasn't needed. But it makes me wonder, though, because, like, you know, I haven't read Birthright, but, you know, I've heard people say that stuff from there is in it. But it makes me wonder about stuff like the Grant Morrison stuff, just because it's in the trailer and not actually in the movie. That would be an interesting whole loophole they could probably get through, you know, with that. But it is interesting to see who gets paid and who doesn't. And I heard they got paid for Dixon and for Bane, actually.
Right.
So, you know, stuff like that. Maybe if there was something like a character use that you created, maybe there's a different thing there, too. So, who knows?
Right. And the thing that Mark Waid put up on the Thrillbent website, it says how DC contracts work. And he also makes in here, this is not how work for material owned by the creators. That's a whole other post coming in the future.
Hmm. It's interesting reading.
So, right, and it was very interesting to see how that sort of stuff happened. And now I as a fan, never expected the creators. You know, you just assume you work for the big company. You hear all the stories going all the way back to the 60s. Your Jack Kirby's, your Steve Ditko's, how they never got any sort of compensation for any of the stuff that they did.
Mm-hmm.
And you just never expected anyone to be getting paid for stuff like this. So it was very interesting to find out that for a time, people at DC were getting paid for little things popping up.
That's true. I mean, Stan Lee got paid most of his career, you know, but he played ball and he was the, you know, the pretty much the spokesman of Marvel, even after he had stopped, you know, being the creative force behind most of the stuff. So there is that. Like you said, the Kirby's didn't get paid for a lot of the you know, the Avengers and Fantastic Four and stuff like that. But it is weird, like, who gets what and who gets what when, and whether or not, you know, deals are the same now as then, and royalties have changed over the years. So it is, like I said, always interesting to find out what's going where.
It definitely is. Speaking of what's going where, or who's going out, or in, or so forth, they're currently filming a lot of the comic book movies. I know the Cleveland area, they're filming the Captain America sequel, and I know in New York they're filming the Amazing Spider-Man sequel. And we had learned several months ago that Mary Jane was going to be in the movie, as well as Gwen Stacy, who was in the previous film. What's her name?
Is Emma Watson?
No, it's not Emma Watson.
Played Gwen Stacy.
Well, we're gonna kind of get into this in regards to where what this whole thing shakes out for me as. But there were scenes shown online of the actress who is playing Mary Jane in the movie, young lady Shailene Woodley, was her name, and I think the young lady who played Emma Watson. Yeah, listen to me.
Gwen Stacy.
Emma Stone. See, you were
That's
close.
It,
Emma Stone. I like Emma Stone. I just couldn't remember her last name. When you said Emma Watson, it threw me off.
Well, Mary Jane Watson, that's what threw me for a second, too. But go ahead.
So, there were scenes filmed of her as Mary Jane, and then just last week, it came out that they were just going to scrap everything that they filmed with her.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was rumors that she was being replaced by a different actress, Sarah Gadon. And then Sarah Gadon came out and said, I'm in the movie, but I'm not going to be playing Mary Jane. So right. Not only did they cast one, possibly two different actresses to play Mary Jane, not only did they film a bunch of scenes with one of those actresses, they're now just completely scrapping the Mary Jane subplot.
Maybe it wasn't working. I don't know. I'm not on a movie set. Maybe she wasn't working out. Maybe, you know, the part wasn't working. There could be a million things. I've heard, like, you know, people who were complaining about how she looked when she first, you know, was on set without makeup. They were like, oh, she's too ugly to be Mary Jane. And
oh, boy.
Yeah, it was weird. It was really weird. So then I heard her say, you know, people were saying that she was complaining on Twitter. Now, I don't have any, you know, proof of this, but they were saying, like, she was saying things about the movie. So who knows? Like, I'm at the point where either when I find out who people are, I'll make some decisions then. But, you know, it really doesn't matter. Spider-Man is going to be Spider-Man with Mary Jane or without. So
now,
I tell people, relax.
Did you see Amazing Spider-Man?
Yeah.
I never got a chance to see it.
Right.
And I heard mixed things on it. Either people told me it was really good or really bad. I need to ask them where it ranks on the Man of Steel Green Lantern scale.
Where it ranks?
Yes. Is it better than Man of Steel or worse than Man of Steel?
Well, because I know you really, really disliked Man of Steel.
Yes.
I didn't like Man of Steel, but I don't think I didn't like it as much as you did.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say, for me, because I had a lot of problems with Spider-Man,
okay,
for me it just slams right in with Man of Steel, but it's better than Green Lantern.
Well, everything. I can't think. I would think Howard the Duck is better than Green Lantern if we're just comparing comic book movies.
Green Lantern isn't the worst comic book movie ever made.
What is the worst comic book movie ever made?
The Spirit.
The Spirit. Yeah,
the Spirit is unwatchable.
Is that the one with Alec Baldwin in it?
No, that's The Shadow.
Oh, The Spirit is the second Frank Miller thing.
Yeah, it's the Frank Miller movie with Eva Mendes and Samuel L. Jackson. I forget who played the Spirit in that, but it's unwatchable.
Yes, I remember that now.
I almost think it's worse than Batman and Robin,
mm-hmm.
because I still think Batman and Robin, the scenes with Bruce Wayne and Alfred.
Yes.
There's two scenes in there that I don't know how made it into the movie because they're really good. And when I watch The Spirit, there's nothing good about that.
I'll say this. While Batman and Robin is the worst Batman movie,
mm-hmm.
it is far from the worst comic book movie.
Okay.
I probably think that's better than Green Lantern.
Oh, it is?
Yes.
Oh, wait, I don't know. I have to watch them both again, but definitely The Spirit is worse than both of them. To me.
All right. Now, what I get out of all this amazing Spider-Man casting news, mm-hmm. Sarah Gadone and the other young lady, Shailene Woodley,
mm-hmm.
I have no idea who either one of these people are.
I do. I'm the same way. I've never heard of them.
I'm really out of touch with today's hot young actresses.
Mm-hmm.
I really have no idea who she is, and right. I'm okay with that. I think
when the first Amazing Spider-Man movie came out, I didn't know any of the actors except the old people.
Mm.
I was like, all right, I know who Sally Field is, and I know who Martin Sheen is, and I know who's Captain Stacy, and he's the comedian.
Dennis Leary.
Dennis Leary. Just couldn't think of his name. I know who Dennis Leary was. And then after that, it was Emma Stone was the only one that I recognized from a couple of movies that I saw. She was the one young person. So yeah, I'm with you. I'm in your boat.
Right. So speaking of movies with some casting of people that I actually do know,
mm-hmm.
Kick-Ass 2 is coming out later this year. I think it's like the tail end of the summer.
Okay.
And Jim Carrey is going to be in this. Now, I haven't read Kick-Ass 2. I know Kick-Ass 3 is out now or coming out, or the first issue's been out.
Right. And there was a Hit Girl miniseries, right?
Right, and there was a Hit Girl miniseries.
So I don't know if any of that's in this movie, too, is what I'm saying. But go ahead.
Yeah, so I'm assuming that they're getting ready to start doing the publicity on this this movie, and Jim Carrey took to his Twitter and said that he filmed the movie a month before Sandy Hook happened, and he cannot support the level of violence that's in this movie. He's not ashamed of it, but he's caused the recent events have caused a change in heart for him. So yes, so Jim Carrey is coming out saying that the movie is too violent for him.
Right.
And Mark Millar is crazy, and that's really all you need to know about that. You know, he's. He's kind of, you know, some people would say he's a modern-day Stan Lee, like, turned up to, like, 11,000.
Mm-hmm. He's Funky Flashman and all that other good stuff.
Yeah. And he responded, and he did a good job of kind of, like, taking a little bit of a dig at Jim Carrey, but not being too critical of what he said. And again, it's just kind of odd that, you know, but Jim Carrey's an odd dude, so you shouldn't be surprised that he's going to come out a month before the movie comes out and not so much as trash the movie, but tell people that it's too violent. And mm-hmm. whether or not that's going to deter people from going to see the movie is completely, you know.
Or is it a wacky publicity stunt?
Well, it very well could be.
I've heard people talk that way, too. Here's my opinion. I'm kind of, I guess, in the same boat with you. I never saw Kick-Ass, the movie. Mm-hmm. I read the first mini. I liked it. Never went to the movie or saw it on TV. Don't really care about the sequel. And in the end, I like Mark Millar as a writer for some things. So it's like, to me, this is a big, like, perfect storm of something that I probably wasn't going to see anyway. So it's off in the distance of my radar that I'm like, yeah, whatever. He said something. Maybe the movie will make some money. Maybe it won't. When does Pacific Rim come out again? that's what I'm worried about.
3 weeks, maybe?
Yeah, I think it's the 13th or something like that of July.
Yes.
That's all I care about at this point.
So I read the Kick-Ass comic book. I liked it just fine. It wasn't great. It wasn't horrible or by any stretch of the imagination. I definitely understand what he was going for with the book. Mm-hmm. The movie was fun for what it was.
Right.
I liked a lot of the comic book nods to it. And they, you know, and it's a based directly off the comic book. You know, it's about as close to a near comic adaption. They changed, like, a few little tiny things, mm-hmm. But nothing too much. And, you know, it was a fun action-y comic book, violent, you know, movie. And if that's your cup of tea, and I'm sure if you saw one, you're going to go see two, regardless of what one of the actors in the movie is saying.
Mm-hmm. We'll go together and see how it is.
Yes, maybe. Yeah. We'll try to work our schedules out to go together.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the other bits of news from this past week was that Boom Studios had purchased Archaea Entertainment, another smaller independent publisher, most famous for Mouse Guard. They have a couple of the Jim Henson licensees. I think they have Fraggle Rock, Tale of Sansom, very critically acclaimed stuff. Mm-hmm. And I think this is the first time in a long time that we've seen one company, like, you know, we see your Disney's purchase Marvel and stuff like that, but that we see one, you know, imprint, one publisher purchase another publisher whole cloth.
Right, right. Like you said, the only couple that I can think of are Disney buying Marvel and then DC bought Wildstorm.
Right, back that's in the you day, know, obviously, so. But these are two publishers that are I wouldn't say on the same level, but they're both independent smaller publishers, you know.
Right, they're not in the front part of previews.
Right, there you go. They don't have their own full section.
Right. I actually find it funny cuz when we were, you know, doing the show notes about this, I was like, I have no idea what company this is.
Really?
I knew Boom, but to know the name of the company, I've heard of Mouse Guard, I've heard a couple of the other projects, but I never knew what company they were at. So I this was one of them that I you know read closely because I'm like I've never Arcania is it?
It's Archaea.
Archaea, I don't want to say it wrong. Archaea, I'm like, that was the first time I was ever hearing that name. So I found it interesting. But I guess the merger makes, you know, the Boom a pretty big deal now compared to, like, size with the mid-tier, you know, comic company. So I guess that, you know, that's kind of cool.
Right, and, you know, what they acquired in that, I know you said that you'd heard a few of those things. Some other stuff that I've read from Archaea is a book called The Killer by Luke Jackamon. I was picking that up in some nice fancy hardcovers. And also Cowboy. It's just Cowboy. They did a free, or for fake free comic book day this past October, they did like a little story where it's a little boy who is an outlaw and he goes in the search to bring his family, who are all outlaws, back to, you know, get the bounty on them. And he's just like a little like 6-year-old boy.
Hmm.
And
that's interesting.
Yes, it's a very interesting book. And again, it's killing me right now that I can't remember the writer. But the artist is Chris Iliopoulos, who you would know. He does a lot of the he does a lot of inking for Marvel. But he also has a very Tiny Titans look, like a Baltazar Franco look to his art. Hmm. Nate Cosby is the writer of Cowboy. He was also a former editor at Marvel. And the first collection of Cowboy was really good. The little free comic book day thing from October was really good. And if Boom picking it up means that those books are going to get a little bit more space in the previews or a little bit more sales, because as you just mentioned, you didn't even know Archaea was an imprint.
Right, and I'm not trying to be funny with that. Yeah, Boom I knew, because I've picked up Boom. Boom, wasn't Boom doing Wade's, that's the one, because it wasn't IDW, it was Incorruptible and Irredeemable, right?
Right, and that was through Boom.
Right, and then they had some others, like, smaller books off the top of my head. I can't remember right now. But yeah, but the other one, I've never even heard the name. So it's pretty big. And maybe, like I said, if, you know, that section of previews, it moves it up there maybe and gets it a bigger, you know, some recognition to get some more sales, like you said, and maybe it helps them out a lot.
Yes. So I certainly hope so as well, and I hope those, you know, I hope it just means more. I wonder if we'll be seeing more of that, like, not so much as purchasing, but maybe other smaller companies working together to kind of get up to that next big level, like an IDW or, you know, obviously Image is by far the number three company, but, you know, kind of start nipping at Valiant's heels or something.
Right, like, or I don't even know if Fantagraphics still exists, but something like, you know, just like any companies, like, or even some really small ones with some you know, acclaim to them for one book. Mm-hmm. You just try to get, you know, the dream team together or something like that.
Right, something, definitely. Mm-hmm. So the one last bit of news here before we get into the books and everything else that we discuss here on the show, it has been announced that with the October issue of Action Comics, November issue, my apologies, the November issue of Action Comics, issue 25, that Greg Pak will be taking over the book. Andy Deagle was a high-profile writer that was supposed to be taking over the book, and he came and went before his first issue even came out. Mm-hmm. No surprise, there's been fill-ins on it. I think Tony Daniel was going to do the art and writing for the few issues. And they said they were going to be making an announcement about who would be taking over the book. And they said that it's Greg Pak, who's got some work coming up here for DC, which we'll talk about, I'm sure, later. And, you know, some of the Villains Month. I think he's got 3 or 4 books in Villains Month.
Mm-hmm.
So what are your thoughts on him taking over the book? You know, are you interested? Are you coming back? What's your thoughts?
I'm actually interested because now I haven't, like you said, he's got some stuff coming up that I haven't read yet that I'm interested in. But the last thing that, I really loved his Hercules run, mm-hmm. His Incredible Hercules, which was the end of the Incredible Hulk run. They, you know, kept the numbering and had his stuff. I love that. That had more of a comedy kind of feel to it with some intense stuff. So I don't know what he's going to be going for with his Superman, his Batman, Superman. But for Superman right now, I'm actually in for a lot of stuff. I'm interested in the Action Comics with Pak. I'm interested in the Superman Batman. I'm interested in Superman Wonder Woman with Soul. Is that how you say his name? So as of right now,
and Superman Unchained.
Oh, and Superman Unchained. You're right. I forgot there was another one. Superman Unchained with Scott Snyder and Jim Lee. I'm really pumped about different Superman stories. Ask me again in a month. Do you know what I mean? As of right now, I can't see the future. I don't have a crystal ball. I'm pumped for it right now. As long as nothing changes at DC. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
I'm of two thoughts on this. One, obviously, as you'd mentioned before, the Batman Superman book that's coming out, depending on the quality of that book, will kind of lead me into whether or not I'm going to try out this Action Comics run. I've got some time to think about it. But also, as Todd just mentioned, this is an announcement of a writer taking over a book in, 4 months?
Mm-hmm.
Let's see if that is going to continue, if they're not going to make any more changes to the creative team between now and then.
No, wouldn't happen.
No.
They've turned things around.
Yeah, well, I hope so. I hope this is the beginning of things for them.
Me too. It's funny because I like to have positive, good things, like with Superman, and I'm in the sweet spot right now, and I'm going to stay here for a while.
Yes.
But.
So the only other bit of news to mention is that if you are in New York this weekend, Wizard World New York is going on, and it is going on at Basketball City near Pier 36, and I think if you live in New York, that means something to you.
It's the city where the basketballs are.
I guess.
That's the way I look at it. Pretty much, you know, it's what it says on the tin, but go ahead.
Yes. So it's your typical, it's your typical Wizard Con. You know, Stan Lee's going to be there. People from The Walking Dead are going to be there. Some creators are going to be there, not a ton. A lot of you know, a lot of entertainment guests, Pam Grier, you know, people from Buffy, things like that. But again, you know, it's a good con to go to if you're in New York. I'm sure you'll probably run into a lot of cool people there.
Mm-hmm. It's always like if I didn't have other cons coming up, like more Comic-Con, I always love to go. Like if I had free time and I had the extra cabbage, I would, you know, I would take a bus in and go for a day or something like that. But I don't right now.
Exactly.
I miss cons, going to cons so much right now.
So that's it for the news. We do have our digital stuff to talk about. The freebies that are available this week from Marvel. They're good for, I think, you know, exactly a week, as they always are. They have new books up every Tuesday around 10:30, so you can always go check those out. The first issue of a Kazar miniseries by Paul Jenkins is up. Issue 188 of X-Men, which I think was the first Mike Carey issue of X-Men, and also Fantastic Four Books of Doom, which was a Doctor Doom-centric miniseries written by Ed Brubaker. And if that's not enough to sell you on that book, I don't know what is. It's a great miniseries.
It was a great miniseries. It's one of my favorite little Doom stories.
Yes, indeed. And there's also a sale going on right now on Comixology. Brandon Graham, who's getting a lot of publicity for his work on the Image book Prophet. All of that is up there for sale. The first issue is for free. Every other issue there is 99 cents. Some of his other books that he's done, a book Multiple Warheads, another book King City, all that stuff is available until the end of the week, so definitely check that out. Now, I'll be honest with you, I did try Prophet, and I know a lot of people raved about it, and there was just something about it that just wasn't for me. It's not like I was expecting the old Image throwback book, and I appreciate them trying to do something different and different, you know, unique with the book, but there was just something about it that wasn't for me. I don't know what to tell you.
I didn't get a chance to try it, so I have no opinion.
Yes. But they've had some really good sales lately. They just wrapped up yesterday on a Deadpool sale on Daniel Way's entire run at 99 cents. They had some Matt Fraction stuff for sale on Monday, specifically the first 5 issues of Hawkeye, and you know I swiped those up. Actually, I already had the first issue from the 500 free issues. They did
700 free issues.
Right, 700 free issues. My apologies. They had issues 1 and 2 for sale a couple weeks ago, and I picked up issue 2 there. So Hawkeye is an awesome book, and I hope all of our listeners check that out.
Yes, I do too.
Another thing that I hope all of our listeners check out is our great sponsor, Bake Me a Wish, at bakemeawish.com.
Yes.
And as their slogan on their website will say shortly, it bakes one to know one.
Yes, that's a good slogan.
That's a great slogan.
They should pay the person who came up with that a lot of money.
I was going to say, I hope the person who came up with that slogan has a better contract than the one that most people have with DC.
Yes.
For residuals. But yes, by the time you're listening to this, it's getting to the end of June. So the current Cake of the Month special, the 4 cakes, the 4 little mini cake sampler pack will be done. And by the time we talk a week from now, they'll have another great selection there. And it's great cakes at a great price. Quick shipping if you need these lickety-split, as I'm looking at their website here. Anything placed before 5 o'clock Monday through Friday can be delivered the next business day. So you can't beat that.
No, you can't. And overnight cake.
That's right, overnight cake. And as I'm wont to say, there's no button to click. There's no promo code. There's no microphone. There's no hoops to jump through. You want a cake, you want some cookies, you want some brownies, you want it delivered to someone that you love, someone near and dear to your heart, or just send them to yourself if you're the person you love the most. BakeMeAWish.com, and they'll just know that you got sent there by Weekly Longbox.
Yes.
Because that's how good they are.
Yes. They're very good.
So, Todd, let's get into the books that we read last week.
Okay.
We'll talk very slowly to hopefully stretch this out. Just kidding.
Mm-hmm.
Where would you like to begin?
Animal Man. Is that slow enough for you?
Yes, yes.
Okay.
Animal Man, written by Jeff Lemire, with art by Stephen Pugh. Mm-hmm. And that is not the pew-pew as Iron Man's repulsor rays make.
No, it's not.
No, it's spelled differently. Mm-hmm. So this is the continuation of where we left the book off about a month or two ago. After what has happened to Buddy's family and what has happened to his personal life with the movie that he was in. And this is just him trying to get back into things. as a superhero and what is also going on with his daughter, who is supposedly having a stronger connection to the Red than he.
Yes, because she's supposedly the heir apparent.
Yes.
My favorite part about this, and I was actually hoping they'd do it all the way through the book, is tell the story through Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just funny because that was my favorite part of the book, and actually kind of why I wanted to talk about this book is as they had the little posts about people and how people were like, you know, what's going on? What's he doing? And they were getting it like completely wrong at parts. And then people like, you know, I don't know if you know this, Leonard. Sometimes people snap at each other on Twitter, and I just like you know the trolling in the story and everything. And I just thought it was really a cool idea to tell some of it that way. And that's one of the reasons that, you know, that I talk about this book is that they're always trying new and inventive things. Like, you know, a story told partly through Twitter. And, you know, we've had stories told, you know, about a movie that the, you know, Animal Man is in. And we're learning more about that because he's up for an Oscar for it. The book looks good. And then when, you know, horrific things happen, they just look horrific. So I love Animal Man.
Yes, it's a very good book. I definitely agree with you. I like the way that they told the story. It's kind of a little bit of a takeoff. Mark Waid has done it in the one of his Thrill Bent books, and I'm kicking myself that I can't remember the title of the Thrill Bent book right now.
Mm-hmm.
But he did a thing where the superhero, Insufferable, the son of the major superhero, he was more concerned about his online his online presence, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And there was stories while he was fighting crime, he was being distracted because he was checking to see what everyone was saying about him on Twitter. While he should have been paying attention to superheroing.
You should always... They should have a PSA on TV about that. Like, if you're superheroing, don't tweet, you know? But, yeah, I know what you're saying. I didn't know that he had done that. This was, like, the first time that I've seen something like this, so I thought it was really cool.
Yes. So if you're looking for something different from one of the big two, this is one of those books that has been good since its very first issue when the New 52 started all the way back when... And I'm sad to see this book not being represented at Villains Month.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember whose Animal Man's villain would be. I guess the only one, because Anton Arcane out of the Rot was...
That's a swampy man, yeah.
Yeah, you're not going to put him in Animal Man. So I don't even know if Animal Man has an arch villain.
Well, this would have been a perfect opportunity to introduce one for him, wouldn't it?
That is true. That is true. Vegetable Man.
Yeah, something.
Right. I don't know. But, yeah, I get what you're saying.
I will say this, though. I am worried for Buddy's daughter working so closely with the Red.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they have her best interests in mind. And I hope that she, being a little kid who is, like, 4 or 5 years old.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. When they tell her that what she wants from the Red is possible, I don't think it is. I think they're just leading her on. So I think bad things. They're like the guardians of like the mystical world. They're just
yes.
bad. Bad decisions.
That's a very good analogy, yes.
Mm. So, but so, good book.
Animal Man's a real good book.
Right.
So I would like to talk about one of the books. It's actually the book that we both were looking forward to from this past week. That was Indestructible Hulk number 9 by Mark Waid with art by Matteo Scalera.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can never pronounce people's names. So I was excited for this because it was Daredevil and the Hulk teaming up, and it was written by Mark Waid, and that makes me happy.
Right. It's good to see Mark Waid get Daredevil out of his own book once in a while.
Yes. And as I look up some of the information, I apologize. Matteo Scalera was working with Mark Waid at Boom on both Incorruptible and Irredeemable.
Okay, I forgot about that.
Yeah, so it's nice to see Mark Waid giving his buddies, people that he's worked with before, work at one of the big two books, big two companies.
But how'd you like this?
I liked it. You know, it's the Hulk, it's Daredevil. I know you had predicted that we would find out that the person that Bruce Banner had to check in with all the time on last week's episode was going to be Matt Murdock. And spoilers, everyone, that's who it turned out to be.
Mm-hmm.
I was very surprised that they gave that reveal away so quick into the issue and so quick into the storyline. I thought they could have milked this for a little bit longer.
Yeah, but I don't know. I just think it screamed it when Daredevil came in. I don't know why. But then again, that's the way he wrote it. It was like, I'm on the phone with somebody, and it's like, oh, it's Matt Murdock. So you're like, I'm guessing, you know, that might be who it is. But, yeah, I really enjoyed this, and I was wondering if you got a little psyched, because I know you're a fan of someone who appears near the end of the book.
Oh, yes. Well, I was going to say, I did not see who was going to be in the end of this book coming at all.
It completely
caught me off guard. And if we have learned anything, and we have not, from Mark Waid's run on Daredevil, is that he is going to be bringing in villains that you never expect to show up in this book and make it work.
Right.
So I don't even know what the current status quo of this character is prior to his appearance here.
And you'd know better than I would.
Yes.
So I'm completely lost. But the one thing I do know about this character, I know we're being very, like, you know, out, not talking directly about it, is he's been known to have been sneaky before. So,
right.
So I had no problem with that. But it's just a cool thing, and I want to see where it goes. And, you know, Hulk looked really good, and I love the story. So I'm going to keep, Mark Waid, he does some pretty good stuff.
Right, and I'll be definitely interested to see if this is going to be someone who is going to be more of a S.H.I.E.L.D.-centric villain, if this is someone who's going to try to match wits with Banner.
Yeah, or the
or
Hulk.
So forth. Yeah, I think the last time this person showed up, and again, without giving it away, but giving it away, was in the pages of Winter Soldier some time ago.
You know what? Unless they were somewhere else, that's the last place I remember them.
That's the last place I remember them as well.
So, it was the Winter Soldier. No, I'm just
My goodness. So, yeah, definitely check that out. It's the beginning of a new storyline. It's by Mark Waid. It has two of the best characters going right now from two of the best books going right now, Hulk and Daredevil. So, check that one out as well.
Yes.
So, Todd, I will move it to you, since the rest of the books that we read from last week are just books that you read.
Mm-hmm.
One would be Green Lantern, The New Guardians, number 21, by Justin Jordan of Luther Strode from Image Comics fame, and Brad Walker on art.
Right, and so, I think Justin Jordan did Deathstroke at the end, too, so he worked at DC a little bit. This was all right. Of the two Green Lantern books that I read previous to this, this one was the weakest. It's, you know, Kyle Rayner as the White Lantern, who I think the biggest problem I had with it is I didn't know, like, what the White Lantern can do, and they really don't show you, like, a lot of it. The only thing that I can gather is his ring can make constructs, but he can use all the colors of the rainbow rings, and I guess he projects some of the emotions sometimes. So I was like, okay. But basically the story is the new Guardians, the ones that were released in Green Lantern, and, you know, the old Guardians are dead. They want somebody to take them around the universe and give them a tour, and he doesn't want to, but Hal asks them to because somebody has to watch them. Because he's afraid that they'll end up like the old Lanterns, and that's basically what the story is about. And Kyle begrudgingly agrees to watch them, and he takes them off into the universe to study this thing called the Anomaly, which I don't want to say too much about. But in the end, feels very much like a ripoff of a lot of characters from Marvel's cosmic stories. I don't know how to explain who they are without giving a lot away, but there's one origin that sounds a lot like a major cosmic carrier character in this. So I enjoyed it. I'm going to give it another issue just to see how it is, but it was kind of weak for me compared to the other ones.
Mm-hmm. So. Well, I'm glad you're picking up all the books. I know you're giving them all pretty much a try here.
Right.
So I give you credit for doing so. I'm picking up so many books. You know, this would have been a great week to check out a new book, but I was just so far behind from the previous 2 weeks.
Yeah.
There was no room to add extra stuff because all the extra stuff is coming this week.
Because you'd have to put New Guardians under Doctor Who Prisoners of Time. You know, because you wouldn't want to put it on top because then that would, you know, push it further back. But that's neither here nor there.
Right. I joked with Todd before the show that book is called Prisoners of Time, but I'm a prisoner of that book.
I almost want to release you from your debt, but I don't know. I think I want to punish you for 6 more issues.
Good. I deserve it.
Yes. Now it just got weird.
I've been a horrible person, and I deserve to be punished for, being a man and, you know, going through on what I say I'm going to do.
That's right. You're a man who doesn't pay his debts.
That's right. So the last book that I requested Todd talk about on the show this week was the finale, I guess, to Age of Ultron number 10, Little did I know there would be another book following up this week. Age of Ultron, was it 10.1?
Right.
So, I guess the question I have for you is, you stuck with this thing the whole way through. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts on this? You know, how did you feel it ended? Was it satisfying to you? Were you able to understand it? Give me the whole thing.
Okay, you know when you were talking about Age of Ultron 10 is the end, you guess?
Right.
That's the perfect review for the end of this series.
Okay.
I stood in Brian Michael Bendis' corner, 1 through 9, and, you know, I went toe-to-toe with DJ and other people who, like, you know, who didn't like the book, and I'm like, fine, you didn't like it. But I really enjoyed it. I thought there were some interesting things going on with it. But this final issue, you know, things do happen, but it suffers from that no clear conclusion because we want you to buy book X, X, and X.
Ah.
And I don't mind that so much, you know, if you have an X and an X, like, you know, that spin out of it, but you have a definitive ending. And in the end, you know, spoiler alert, Angela's in it. They mentioned that, you know, I don't know how many weeks or months ago. And as I'm reading it, that's their big reveal. And I'm like, I know that. I, you know, like, you told me that.
You press released this 3 months ago.
Right. And then there's the other cool thing is that they tell you what the Hunger miniseries is going to be about. And I like the idea, but once again, with no definitive ending other than they beat Ultron, and it doesn't, it happens, you know, kind of in a weird way where, you know, they set it up in the past with Wolverine and Invisible Woman going back to stop Hank Pym from building him, and they kill him. And it doesn't work because it makes things just as bad. So they're like, well, we can't go back and kill them. And they go through a series of events that they tell them to put a, you know, a stop button in Ultron, basically, that we can use later on down the line. That's what it is. And they erase his, you know, memory of it. And then when the day comes, they tell him, this is it. You know, like they give him a tape. You have to do it. And it works. But in the end, as much as I had fun with 1 through 9 and see the flaws, I really didn't like the end of 10.
So I guess the question for you is, what spins out of this is, at the very least, Angela appearing in Guardians of the Galaxy,
right,
and the Hunger miniseries.
Yes. And
you were already getting Guardians of the Galaxy, correct?
Right.
And will you be getting the Hunger miniseries? Were you going to be getting the Hunger miniseries? Now does this make you want to get it?
I was on the edge for Hunger miniseries because I thought it tied into Infinity.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't really, unless they make it tie in. I don't know how it has something to do with the Ultimate Universe, which I'm not a big, you know, fan of. Not that I don't like, I just didn't read it. So I'm willing to give that a try. I like the idea, so I'm going to pick it up. And the other thing that they established that I didn't get to mention is that they've broken time. That because they did so, like, even though Wolverine went back and killed Hank Pym and then saved him, that, like, the way Marvel time used to work, it would create alternate timelines. Like, that was their rules. Like, you know, you've gone back in the past, doesn't affect us now. It just shoots off another timeline. Like, if you went off and saved Thing from becoming the Thing, that would go that way, but our timeline thing would still be the same. That I don't think that works the same way anymore. They said we snapped it and changed things so much that we broke it. So time is, there's cracks and stuff like that. So maybe something will come out of that. I don't know.
Is this essentially Marvel hyper time, perhaps?
Maybe, because they ended up using it to bring in Angela from wherever she was. I don't know if she was in a different universe or just on a different planet. So, like, stuff like that, they maybe can bring in, like, that character, or maybe down the line, I always say they, you know, one of these days they're going to get around to figuring Marvel Man out. Maybe they can use that to bring him in. Stuff like that. Maybe you could bring other characters in, but I don't know. I don't know where they're going with the time stuff.
And that's what a lot of people speculated, because after they press released the Angela thing, everyone thought it was going to be just a red herring for the Marvel Man stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe that'll be in 10.1 today.
Right, maybe. I'm going to go with no, but yeah.
Now, did you are you going to get 10.1 today?
It's Mark Waid, so I was thinking about it,
mm-hmm,
but I don't know, because I'm kind of like a point ones, because I got the point ones after Fear Itself, and I'm not a big fan of point ones on minis. Like, I don't mind a point one, in an ongoing, like they did a while back, where they're supposed to be jumping on points, and they worked in some spots and they didn't work in other spots. But I don't like point ones. If this is more to the story, I don't want that. I just want you to end it in the actual issue. So, no, probably not.
Mm-hmm.
So, you picking it up? Because I know you're a Mark Waid fan.
I am a Mark Waid fan, but I will not be picking it up.
Ah, okay. So, that's my take on Age of Ultron. If you have any other questions, you know, I'd be happy to field them for you.
No, I think we're good.
Okay.
So, let's get into what we're looking forward to coming out this week. And I think the streak is over.
You know what? I'm going to put money down and say the streak is over.
All right. So, I'm going to go first.
Okay.
It's a big week.
Well, let me just ask one question. It's Prisoners of Time 6, right? For both of us?
No.
But go ahead, then.
So, there's a ton of stuff coming out this week. A ton. The end of Booster Gold crossing over with Jonah Hex and All-Star Western.
Mm-hmm.
The Larfleeze book.
Yep.
The Red Lantern thing, which I did not know what the premise of the Red Lantern book was.
Mm-hmm.
And someone stooged it off to me.
Okay.
And I'm very intrigued by it, but I wish someone didn't stooge it off to me, because I think it would have been a really awesome thing to find out on my own.
Okay. I don't know what it is, other than there's a certain character on the cover.
Right.
That I think is going to be one of the main characters. That's all I know.
Right, okay. And that's the thing. It's the solicitations for it essentially say that Guy Gardner is leading the Red Lanterns.
Okay.
All right, that's in the solicitations, that's in the ads, that's on the cover, that's everything. But there's more to it.
Oh, something else got stooged. Okay.
Yes, something else got stooged. All right. Greg Rucka's got a new book coming out from Image. An interesting premise about a far-flung future and, you know, bodyguards that live forever. It's the end of the current Daredevil story arc, wrapping things up. Is it really Bullseye? I think Mark Waid's still going to pull a fast one on us. The Hawkeye one-shot, essentially, issue 11, from the eyes of the dog, essentially. Tons and tons more. But of all these books that are coming out this week, the one that I'm actually most looking forward to is Batman Superman from Greg Pak and Jay Lee.
Mm-hmm.
This is the book that is going to convince me whether or not I'm getting more Superman books, whether I'm going to get Action Comics. This is supposed to be taking place, it's supposed to be the first meeting between Superman and Batman, even though the first meeting of Superman and Batman was supposedly in Justice League number one. I'll be interested to see where it plays into that storyline. Greg Pak, as you had mentioned before, is a really good writer. I like Batman, I like Superman. I'm looking forward to this book the most out of anything. And Jay Lee's art is beautiful.
Oh my god, Jay Lee's art is fantastic.
Yes.
So, you know what, as you went down the list...
Yes.
I was with you on most of those books.
Yes.
You know what I mean? I'm looking at, like I said, I have 20 books. You can throw Fatal in there. You have The Wake 2. You have, Larfleeze, like you said, Lazarus, which I didn't know what it was about. I was just buying it on Greg Rucka's name alone. Hawkeye, Daredevil, All-Star Western, like you said, Uncanny by Andy Diggle's coming out. I want to try that. You know, there's just Batman, Superman. You mentioned the other book that it is for me is Red Lanterns.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you take Charles Soule, who, you know, is a great writer for me from Swamp Thing. That's all I have to go by on his three issues, but I've loved them. Then you throw Guy Gardner as a character in there. I'm in, and this is one of those books that I'm hoping is really good, because I wasn't reading Core for the longest time, and Guy was in there, and I don't want to say I need a dose of Guy, but I need a dose of Guy Gardner, you know? So that's the book that I'm looking forward to most is Red Lanterns. And you get a free Red Lantern ring.
So I think I'll just donate that to somebody at the shop.
Ah, okay.
Now, I'll say this. Red Lantern is my number two.
Wow, really cool.
It almost overtook it when it got stooged off to me of what the premise is.
Okay.
Going on behind this, essentially the why, essentially.
Okay.
And I'm interested, you know, we're definitely going to talk about both of them next week, I'm sure.
Right, definitely.
Yes, definitely, definitely, definitely. So, that's what we're looking forward to this upcoming week, and we'll be talking about them in detail next week on the show. As Todd mentioned at the top of the show, Sketch Party is on hiatus. Once we figure out a chance to scan more of our stuff online, and then again, of course, get a chance to figure out a better name than Sketch Party that's not already been co-opted by somebody else, then it will be back and back with a vengeance.
Yes. Because I have plenty of stuff, and con season is coming up, so
yes.
Who knows? I might, you know, load up on some new cool stuff. Maybe if I go to one of these conventions, Kevin will have my sketches done.
Oh, wow. Todd, you're a wild man. He's at Baltimore.
He is. We've talked through Facebook.
Oh, boy. So.
But anyway.
Those conversations.
Yes, I'll send you carbon copies of them.
Now, the other thing, of course, I want to mention is if you're listening to this podcast, I'm sure you got it from the internet. And if your chosen method of getting podcasts is iTunes, be sure to leave us a review. I know the more reviews we get, the more people get a chance to see our show. And the more people get to see our show, more people get to become fans of our show. And the more people who become fans of our shows, the more our little network of people grows and grows. We did have a review recently from longtime listener of the show, John Seiler. All you other longtime listeners, get on that. Be just like him. His review says, this is one of the few comic podcasts I still enjoy listening to. Being in my mid-20s, it's fun to hear an older point of view on current stories and news. Todd, we're old.
Oh, I'm breaking down. You have no idea.
Segments ranging from comics news, weekly reviews, what they're looking forward to, sketch party, weekly Twitter question, bring a lot of variety to the show. Only complaint I have is that not enough coverage of Image, Dark Horse, and independent companies. We do our best. There was independent stuff in the news today. You know, we do our best to try to mention some new independent stuff as it comes into our purview, but yeah. Thank you very much for leaving the review, John, and we look forward to hearing from you all the time for the Twitter question. And, of course, our other listeners should be contributing to both as well.
Mm-hmm.
But as mentioned, as always, the best way to get in touch with Todd or I is on the Twitter machine, and the show itself is on Twitter at Weekly Long Box. We were just followed the other day by the great Jimmy Pagliotti and Sin Bodhi. And, Todd, you're going to say who Sin Bodhi is. Who is that? You don't know who that is.
Sin Bodhi? Is that somebody from Jaws the movie, Captain Bodhi?
No. He is a professional wrestler. He was in WWE as Kizarni. He is also a legitimate circus sideshow type person. He does like the darts in the back thing and the fire breathing and a lot of the other sideshow tricks.
Okay.
And he is an aspiring comic book artist as well. And I've had an opportunity to meet him a couple times, and he is a really nice guy.
That's cool.
That's right. So all the cool people are following Weekly Long Box, but all the even cooler people should be following Todd on Twitter at Roker the Joker. That's R-O-W-K-E-R the Joker. And of course, you can follow me on Twitter. I'm L-F Chikarason. That's L-F-C-H-I-K-A-R-A-S-O-N. And I understand that once I get to 2,000 Twitter followers, I get to ban one person from Twitter permanently.
I'm thinking you're going with me.
No, I have a list, though. I do have a list.
Okay.
It's someone that my buddy Adam picks on all the time.
Ooh.
And that's about as inside as it gets.
Ooh, okay. I'm going to guess that it's somebody who used to do a podcast with
No.
I'm just kidding.
No, he's banned himself from Twitter, I think. He's a very busy man.
Yes.
So, with the Twitter contacts, of course, the way that you can get a hold of us for many things, just random questions. I know a lot of times folks ask us our opinions on stuff, and we do appreciate you thinking of us when you're thinking about picking up a new book or trying something out, or just even just general con etiquette. Sometimes we've gotten some questions about that.
Yeah.
But we have our weekly Twitter question. This week's question was favorite crazy team-up. And, of course, your idea of what's crazy may vary from person to person. Mm-hmm. And I personally think anytime Howard the Duck shows up, that's about as crazy as a team as it gets.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with Howard the Duck being a wacky sidekick.
Yeah, Mr. Senior, longtime listener, mentioned the Howard the Duck team up with Gen X. And Jared Finelli, another longtime listener, mentioned Howard the Duck's team up with Dum Dum Dugan.
Mm-hmm.
Batman got a lot of love from our listeners. Batman teaming up with Spawn was mentioned by Mike Schaefer. Batman teaming up with Plastic Man was mentioned by Michael Lee Carter and Ed Sotto. And those were always great interactions in that Joe Kelly run on Justice League of America.
Mm-hmm.
JLA, as the kids call it.
That's the way to do it.
Alexander Ain, and I'm mispronouncing your name because your Twitter handle has a bunch of like little characters above the letters in your last name. He had mentioned Jonah Hex and Booster Gold, and that's a good one.
Mm-hmm.
We're seeing how crazy that one is. And probably what would have been my runner-up in any other world, Sean Bertke, Bling Crosby on Twitter, mentioned Wolverine and Dupe. There was a Wolverine and Dupe two-parter back in the X-Static days, and Dupe is a recurring character in Wolverine and the X-Men, and there was a Dupe story that's awesome. And all the characterization, all the interactions between Wolverine and Dupe are great. But that was not my choice for a crazy team-up. I'll let you go and tell us yours. There's no winner because they're all great choices this week.
One of them that I thought of that I didn't use that I'm surprised nobody mentioned was X-Men and Star Trek.
Ah, yes.
That's a crazy one. That came close. but one that became near and dear to my heart just because it's a great story is from Marvel 2-in-1 86. It's Thing and Sandman.
Oh.
And basically what it is the story is Sandman was stuck with Hydro Man. They had, you know, collided and became a mud monster.
Yes.
And then they were inert and they were studying them and they, you know, were like, oh, this is inert, you know, we can't learn anything. So they get rid of it and they bust free and Sandman just feels like he's like I've been violated. You know, that was the most humiliating thing in a long line of humiliations. And he goes to a bar to have a drink. And the bartender calls the Fantastic Four because he recognizes the Sandman. And Thing comes down to the bar because he needs to, you know, get in a scrap. And he walks in and, you know, that's what the Thing does. And he gets there and he's like, come on, let's go. He's going to hit him with something. And he's like, Ben, he's like, I don't feel like it. I, you know, this is the worst day of my life. Sit down and have a beer and then you can take me in. And Thing's like, what? Well, I'm pretty sure I could take him. So he sits down and Sandman relates his life of like having troubles and they parallel some of the things that Ben had growing up, like football was a way out and stuff like that. And it's just in the end, you know, Ben's like, well, you know what? You've seemed like you're a better man and you're dead, you know, on the record. He goes, I'm going to let you have a chance. He buys him a drink and says like, this is your one chance to make it. Do it. And so basically the issue was Thing and Sandman sitting around having a beer. Like, you're never going to see that again, like in modern day comics. And it's just one of those little gem books that I get very excited to talk about. I don't know if you can tell. So, but Sandman Thing, what?
I can. Now, did this, I guess, tie into Sandman becoming a member of the Avengers like he was back in the 90s for a bit?
I think so, because I don't think he went bad until after that. But maybe he didn't, because I think he went bad again during John Byrne's run, so I'm not sure. This was one of those that he might have been an up and down of, like, you know, being rehabilitated, because I have the issue here. I'm looking at the year right now. Take me a second. It was 82, so I don't know if he
it wasn't for like, that was like 90s when he became
so
part
he
of the
might
Avengers.
Have lost it since then, but it was a really good issue, and I know he did kind of turn it around for a little bit.
So for me, my crazy team up is Batman and Aquaman, and Batman and Aquaman specifically from the Batman Brave and the Bold cartoon.
Okay.
The Aquaman characterization in that show is so much fun, and besides the fact that he's voiced by John DiMaggio, it just makes him that much more fun.
Mm-hmm.
But he's like such a braggadocious, over-the-top character, completely different than any other Aquaman, but he's still Aquaman at the same time. And just the fact that Batman puts up with him, and the ridiculous things that Aquaman says to Batman, that Batman just no-sells completely. But they're a very good team together, and I think outside of Blue Beetle, Aquaman probably shows up the most on the show as a partner. Mm-hmm. And the Justice League that is even in that show is the Justice League International.
I think I've seen that one.
Yes. Because
I know Aquaman, doesn't he have like a boisterous voice?
Right.
And he kind of reminds me of, is it Zoltar or Zoltan from Flash Gordon the movie?
Yes.
That's the best way I could describe the way I think of Aquaman when I think of Brave and the Bold.
And that's a good person to be reminded of.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been watching that a lot with the baby. He really enjoys that show.
Because doesn't he have a small like for Batman?
Yes. Okay. Even though as much as he loves Batman, I'd say Hulk is up there and Minnie Mouse is up there as well.
Right, because I know I've seen several pictures of the man hulking out, which scares me. He really does.
He's a tough individual. There's a bone of contention going on in the house that he may be getting a haircut soon, and I'm vehemently against it.
Oh, don't give him a haircut.
No.
Because you know what? You when you don't have a haircut, I've heard you when you wrestle, you could see people like, you know, talking trash to each other when they're really close in a hold. So you want
to
make sure he has
bite each other's ears.
Yeah, yeah. So you want to have the long hair when he becomes a wrestler.
Oh boy. So again, thank you everyone for contributing to this week's Twitter question. This past week's Twitter question, I apologize. Next week's Twitter question is going to be thematic. It is the beginning of July. By the time the episode drops next week, as the kids say, it'll be right around the 4th of July. So our question next week may seem simple at first, but definitely think about it. It would be, who is the most patriotic comic book character?
I think I have my answer.
Yes, I'm sure a lot of people think they have their answer, but, you know, patriotic doesn't just mean toward the United States.
Gotcha.
Yes, 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 yes. So I guess another way to look at it is your favorite character who embodies a country or a nation.
I think I know what you're saying.
Yes, think outside of the United States.
But do I have to?
No, you... You know, if it's Captain America, you just want to say Captain America, that's fine. If you want to be specific and name a certain Captain America, that's fine, too. I look forward to collecting up all the hashtags that say GrizzWLQ, compiling the answers and talking about them right here next week.
Okay.
So, I guess, Todd, is there anything else you'd like to cover before we wrap things up and tie a neat little bow on this week's episode?
No, I like tying neat little bows on every episode, so I'm good with that.
All right. Well, this wraps up episode 84 of the Weekly Long Box, ever creeping closer to episode 100 about 3 months from now, maybe, if my calculations are correct. And, it's still a ways away. We got a lot of time between now and then, but every time I look at that number, I'm like, man, we've been doing this for a long time.
Me too. I think it's, you know, time to start planning some stuff at the comic shop to see what we're going to do.
Possibly, possibly. So, yes, again, for Todd, this is Leonard. Thanking y'all for listening to the Weekly Long Box, and we will catch you all here next week.